nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you. Welcome to part two of our show. We generally do two or three different shows per day, two or whatever. Monday through Wednesday, we take Thursday off, and then open phone Friday. Tomorrow, we're going to talk to Joel Skorsen, who's a very interesting fellow, talking about geopolitics, finance, and the world around us. And he's got some pretty cool things to talk about. And we'll probably have somebody else as well, because we only have one scheduled, but we have a lot of invites out. So it's poetry in motion around here. This morning, we have the honor to talk to a fellow that, boy, it's been years, but he's a good one. He's a great researcher, Morley Robbins, also known as the Magnesium Man. He taught himself about magnesium and the role in the body, as he kind of calls it, the conductor and the orchestrator of minerals, that it plays with calcium, the role. In 2013, Morley founded the Magnesium Advocacy Group on Facebook with three people. He now has over 175,000 members and adds 1,000 people worldwide to his Facebook group weekly. Will, man, that's pretty cool. Morley, good morning. Boy, it's just been a long time since we've had you on the show. Nice to have you here. How you doing?
Great. Doing great. Great to be here.
Yeah, well, you look
great
good.
Great to get the invite.
Yeah, you look good. We should have worked this ahead of time and put this stream on your Facebook page. You didn't even think about it, you know? Nah.
It's always, never occurred to me.
It's always, yeah, it's always something. Yeah, it is good to have you.
They'll find it, not to worry.
Okay. Marley, I want to kick off this whole conversation with something that you have on your website, and you're talking about the copper, iron, magnesium thing, and how this all works with in the body. And you really think that this relationship, and you use what terms that you want, is a real key to oxidative stress in the body?
Absolutely. It's not my idea. I've had the good fortune of being able to spend 2 to 3 hours a day, last 10 years, 7 days a week, to read scientific journal articles. But unlike a lot of people, I've only focused on three minerals: magnesium, copper, and iron. And when they don't work well together, they create what's called oxidative stress. And the most accepted model for aging is the free radical theory of aging that was developed by Denham Harmon in 1956, and then updated 50 years later in 2006 with some very notable scientists in between confirming his findings. Interesting thing about Denham Harmon is he was a PhD structural engineer who was studying oxidative stress in the industrial setting. And he had this thought when he was in his early 30s, gee, I wonder if this happens inside human beings. Hmm. And so he decides to go to medical school. Well, he doesn't just go to medical school. He goes to Stanford. So this guy's not your average chimp. And sets the world on fire with his theory in 1956 about the free radical theory of aging. But I think it's important for people to realize that last time you and I spoke was a while back.
A while.
But we spent a lot of time talking about magnesium and the phrase that I coined back then, the magnesium burn rate, which we also call stress. And everyone on the planet has an increase in their magnesium burn rate because of COVID-1984. And I don't know that we need to spend a lot of time talking
about it. We're over it, you know.
Yeah, I feel the same way. But I think it's important for people to realize how this works at a macro level. And let me explain, and I'll allude to a significant planetary event just so people have an understanding of the magnitude of this. So that when there isn't adequate copper in animal tissue, it causes iron to accumulate in the organs.
Hmm. Okay.
And when iron accumulates in the organs, it mixes with oxygen in those same organs, and it creates what's called oxidative stress, which is a fancy phrase for rust.
For what, sir?
And when oxidative...
It's a fancy word for what?
Rust.
Lust?
We rust, R-U-S-T.
Oh, rust,
what,
I'm sorry.
A rusty...
Oh, I see, okay. Right. So let's see if we follow. So the copper, the copper goes down, the iron goes up because of the ratio,
right.
And that mixes up with oxygen, and things start to rust. And that's called oxidative stress.
Right. That's the technical term. Also called free radicals. It's called reactive oxygen species, ROS. And it's really foundational to life on planet Earth. And here's why. 21% of our atmosphere is a poison called oxygen, but you've never referred to as a poison. Well, next to fluoride, which is the most reactive element on the planet, oxygen is the second most reactive element on the planet. It is a very violent biological element. And according to the astrobiologists, how they know this stuff, I have no idea. There's some amazing articles about it. It's theorized that planet Earth started about 4.5 billion years ago. Long time. And about 2.5 billion years ago, there was something called Great Oxygen Event. And it's been recorded. They know exactly when it started. And what's important for folks to understand that oxygen was not always on this planet. In fact, for a couple billion years, there was no oxygen.
Hmm.
And the only life forms existed lived on iron and sulfur. It was a primordial soup that was iron and sulfur. And then for some reason, a couple billion years ago, there were what are called cyanobacteria, blue bacteria, like the sky blue, started to engage in what's called photosynthesis. And in that process, started to give off oxygen. And when the oxygen level was 0.1%, 99% of all life on planet Earth disappeared.
Wow.
That's how toxic oxygen is with iron. 99% of life as it was known back then disappeared. And what's significant to understand is that when that started to take place, there were three elements that began to emerge on planet Earth. Copper, a key enzyme family called multi-copper oxidase. These are incredibly important, especially in gut health, because they turn oxygen into, are also incredibly important inside our mitochondria, as we'll discuss. And the third thing that appeared that nobody knows about is this thing called cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard of it, right?
Sure.
I'm sure you've talked about it on many occasions. Yeah. It goes back to the beginning of time of oxygen appearing on this planet. Why? Well, it takes 11 molecules of oxygen to make one molecule of cholesterol. So it turns out the cholesterol is not a poison. It's an oxygen sink designed to save us from oxygen that has been completely maligned and mistreated by conventional medicine. So we've got this dynamic going between copper and iron and oxygen. And this came to me as a result of two conversations that I had. One was with a gentleman named Michael Greenberg, who's a big guru in natural health marketing. And he said, people are always asking me, what's new? Michael, what's new?
What's new?
And he says, I've learned to ask what's enduring. And that comment that he made is what got me to look backward in time to see what was before modern nutrition? What really happened on this planet? It's a fascinating chapter that very few people know about. The second came by way of interaction with one of my students' husbands, who is a pastor, and he teaches a course in logic for his parishioners so they can debate the Bible and not get into arguments, but just have spirited debate.
Sure.
And his phrase is, missing information equals missing truth. And what I've come to realize, Patrick, is that modern nutrition and modern medicine is riddled with missing information. The word copper, the word ceruloplasmin, the word ferrooxidase enzyme, these are very important aspects of our human nutrition, and they are the equivalent of Voldemort at Hogwarts Academy, otherwise known as medical school. And so they never talk about the fact that it's copper that harnesses the oxygen molecule.
Harnesses
it's absolutely
it?
Amazing.
What do you mean, harnesses it?
It does it three different ways. It's absolutely fascinating. So copper, when we get inside our mitochondria, I don't know whether you've ever studied the mitochondria, but they're amazing organelles. They're basically bacteria inside our cells. Mm-hmm. That's basically what they are. They're little bacteria. And what may surprise your listeners is to find out that the average cell, we go back to our high school biology class, and we've got the textbook, and we're looking at the cell, and there's one mitochondria. And we're like, oh, yeah, wow, I get that. It's a little energy furnace, right? Mm-hmm. Turns out the average cell has 300 mitochondria.
300?
The average liver cell has 2,000 mitochondria. The average kidney cell, 4,000 mitochondria. The average heart cell, 10,000 mitochondria. The average mature egg in a woman's body, are you ready for this? Are you sitting down?
I am sitting.
600,000 mitochondria. And you probably have heard of Parkinson's disease.
We have, yes.
Of course. It involves a particular brain region called the substantia nigra, which means substantially black. That's what it really means.
Mm-hmm.
And those nerves have 2 million mitochondria. Now, to be classified Parkinson's disease, you have to understand that there's 990,000 neurons in the substantia nigra. So you can do the math, 990,000 times 2 million, it's a very big number. And Parkinson's is when 66% of those neurons are no longer functioning.
What happened to them?
There's no disease. They get burned out by oxidative stress.
Oh, they get burned out by oxidative stress.
There's no disease. It's a molecular breakdown of energy production.
Molecular breakdown of energy production. Wow. That's pretty interesting to think about. So there's no really disease, some glob of something that's stopping the brain from doing something. It's just...
The only disease is thinking that your doctor can cure you. That's the only disease on this planet. We, in fact, have natural mechanisms to regulate oxidative stress in our body. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They're all copper dependent. So you asked, how does copper harness oxygen?
Yeah.
What does it? Three ways. Inside the mitochondria, there are 5 complexes. The first 4 are called the electron transport chain. And the 5th one, when it's hooked up to the electron transport chain, is called oxidative phosphorylation. And where the magic really happens is in complex 4 of the electron transport chain. And there's a very important enzyme there called cytochrome C oxidase, and it's a multi-copper oxidase. It's one of these ancient enzymes that go back billions of years ago. And what it does is it turns the oxygen molecule that comes into the mitochondria and turns it into 2 molecules of water, and it gives off 3 energy precursor proteins called ADP, and they go over to complex 5, and then they get turned into magnesium ATP, so the body can use it. Well, both complex 4 and complex 5 have a battery. It's called copper. If copper isn't present, there is no energy that's going to get made. The inside of the mitochondria, if you look at, go back to your high school textbook and you remember, it's a very funky shaped swimming pool in the center. Well, that's called the matrix copper pool. And Paul Cobine, who was a doctoral student at the time at the University of Saskatchewan, he published 2R 2004 and 2006 and revealed that there's 50,000 atoms of copper inside that swimming pool inside the mitochondria. That's a lot of copper. So that's the first way the copper harnesses oxygen, is it turns it into water. The second way that it harnesses oxygen is activates a whole class of enzymes called oxidase enzymes that allow us to work with oxygen. There's a lot of energy in the oxygen molecule, an incredible amount of energy. Copper is able to take advantage of that energy without creating any static as a byproduct. And then the third way that copper is able to harness oxygen is it's able to run what are called antioxidant enzymes. There's a whole class of enzymes that neutralize what's called oxidative stress, catalase, superoxide dismutase, glutathione peroxidase, peroxynase, and there are many others, but they're all copper dependent. So they are able to turn these reactive oxygen species into components that aren't going to be so destructive to the
that keeps it all
cell.
All in balance. It keeps it all in balance.
Right? Mm-hmm. And there's more. The other side of it is copper working through this protein called ceruloplasmin makes sure that iron doesn't react with oxygen so it doesn't create rust. So there's many layers.
Gotcha. That's pretty geeky, but it's interesting, very fascinating. So you go through and you years of looking at all this, so people just tuning in, they might think, well, I mean, I'm just going to go out and take some copper supplements, and I'm going to be good, right? So that's really not what you're saying here. What's the importance of the takeaway for those of us in the cheap seats who don't know what we're doing? You know, we're not geeky at all like you are. Let's talk about some of the ideas of this copper, magnesium, and iron, you know, paradigm, and what we can do. First off, how do they get out of balance? I guess that's a good question, right? How do they get out of balance?
Yeah. We got a balance, significant balance, starting in 1941 when they started adding iron filings to the wheat flour.
Ooh. Why'd they do
that's
that?
That's a significant event.
Why'd they do that?
Well, they were, back before the First World War, to do research, to discover that at any given time, 1% of the population is pregnant. So 1% of people are pregnant. And what they noted was that during the course of the pregnancy, hemoglobin levels drop down, just as Mother Nature intends. Mm-hmm. Mother Nature does not want the mother to have high hemoglobin. It's going to get spread over a growing volume in the body because of increased blood, but also increased amniotic fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And so the hemoglobin level goes down. And scientists thought that that was a problem. So they decided to override Mother Nature. And they started to add iron for the 1%. And then they decided, well, you know what? Why don't we inoculate the other 99%? And they started adding iron filings.
To wheat flour. So people ate Wonder Bread or whatever. We all got a little bit more iron. Wow.
So this happened in England, in Canada, and in the United States, and all of the countries that we fed, third world countries. So we're talking a big part of humanity is affected by this.
Interesting.
And then in 1969, the FDA decided that they were going to triple the amount of iron in the food system.
Good for them.
And 28 scientists from around the world came to Washington to testify and say, what are you trying to do? Kill everyone? And so in a magnanimous, the FDA backed down and only increased it by 50% instead of the 300% that they were planning.
Increased it? What so do you mean? Hold on. What, let me say, increased it by putting more into the lot of the different iron, foods?
Putting more iron into the food system. 50% increase in iron in the food system.
And they were going to do 100%.
300%.
Oh, 300%.
Whoa. 300%.
And what year was this? 68, so you said?
69. And so what's important for people to understand is there's 9 different forms of iron being added to the U.S. food system. 9 different forms of iron. And here's the question. How many of them have been classified as carcinogens? 9. All 9 of them are known to be carcinogens.
Oh, they're classified as carcinogens.
Yes. Do you think that might be a problem?
Yeah.
That we're eating food that is being that's being enhanced with known carcinogens. So that's one way. The other is there's a very important mechanism for people to understand that when an animal does not have copper in its diet, iron will begin to accumulate in the organs, starting with the liver, and then it will work its way into the pancreas, kidney, the heart, and eventually the brain. This was first identified by a very pioneering team at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, led by Dr. Hart, in 1928. Low copper in the diet increases iron accumulation in the liver. And that's a fact. And that has been going on for 90 years and has been completely ignored by nutrition and medicine.
So let me interrupt for a second. Hold on a second. Let's see. Regroup here. So because we can only follow you so long because, you know, our attention span. So forgive me. So we get all this new iron coming into the system, beginning with the filings and then be in 69 more. And you can maybe tell us quickly how these enter the system. And then the low copper, and then we need to know why the copper is low. But then that's been, so you say this is an issue kind of worldwide, or let's talk about this country, for a lot of different things going on, a lot of oxidation going on in the body, which causes all.
Right.
And there's some people that conjecture that oxidative stress is the cause of disease. Not, it is. That's the number one. Do you think that's true?
It absolutely is. Okay. It's the very mechanism.
Excellent.
And it goes on to create lipid peroxidation. It causes
all kinds of things. All right. Let's keep it simple. Let's keep it simple. What are some of the ways, Marley? By the way, this is great stuff. If you'd like to join the show, patrick@oneradionetwork.com is the email. 888-663-6386. Just give us a quick view of how this copper started to get into the food system, Marley Robbins, after 69, when these guys said we're going to get 50% more on. Where do they? What? How do they put it in the foods if they weren't making the foods? The government.
They instructed the food manufacturers.
Really?
Again, they're adding iron, not copper. They're adding iron. Again, it was under the guise of a benefit because we know that people are iron deficient.
Right.
And I've gone on record saying that that's the biggest scam on the planet, is iron deficiency anemia is a total lie.
Okay.
People are copper deficient and they are iron toxic.
Okay.
It does not show up in the blood. It shows up in the tissue that does not get measured by standard testing. And so you were asking about how they got in
the food system. What did they, in what kind of foods?
Again, it's in grains. It's in any kind of flour. Any kind of processed food that has flour is going to have enriched iron in it.
Okay, but only flour? Only flour is where they put it?
Well, flour, cereals.
No, I understand. But grain, that's where it entered the system, in flour.
Right.
Okay.
Right. But now there's enhanced fortification in all produce. There's a bias in farming to have iron uptake in produce.
In produce?
Yes, absolutely.
Organic?
Organic
produce? Organic produce?
Well, it's hard to say.
Oh, yeah.
When was the last time you actually spoke to your organic farmer and asked them exactly how they fed their soil? Have you ever had that conversation?
Oh, yeah, a farmer's market. I talk to him a lot. You know, I ask him, what do you do? What don't you do? Pretty much, okay. Most of them are purists. They don't do a lot of stuff except compost, you know. Most of them.
Okay, ask them what they're doing to ensure proper copper nutrition in the soil.
Okay, I will, yeah.
That's a really important question. And they're going to look at you with a blank face on them. They're not going to understand what you're talking about. So the thing is, when you put down NPK, a fertilizer that was used ever since, right? It blocks the absorption of copper. Ooh. That's a known fact. So then they you might recall that in the 80s, they started adding a lot of high fructose corn syrup.
Yes, sir.
Right? Well, high fructose corn syrup has the equivalence of alcohol because it becomes ethanol inside the body. And what does ethanol do? It blocks copper absorption in the cells.
Wow.
You can't absorb copper.
Wow.
Then the granddaddy of them all, you probably have heard of Roundup.
I think I have.
Glyphosate?
I think I have.
Okay. Well, I was at a meeting in April 2019, and Stephanie Seneff, who you may know, she's famed...
She's on the show from time to time.
...researcher at MIT. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, she and I were sitting together, and she said, Morley, would you like to know why glyphosate is so hard on copper? Well, Patrick, I thought I'd died and gone to heaven.
Yeah.
I said, absolutely.
Absolutely.
So she said, glyphosate, Roundup, chelates copper down to a pH of 1. Now, what does that mean?
I don't know.
It means that nothing stops glyphosate from chelating copper from the soil, from the plant, from the animal, and from the human eating the plants and the animal. And then she added that there are this protein called ceruloplasmin that no one's ever heard of, including your doctor. It's the largest protein in the human body. It has 8 copper atoms inside it. It's a beast of a protein. Well, inside these 1,066 amino acids, there are 16 that are called conserved glycine amino acids. And I asked her, I said, what do you mean when you say conserved? And she leans forward and she says, Morley, it means they're really important. And so they've been conserved from the beginning of time, from the beginning of oxygen being on the planet. These glycine are needed in order to complex the copper properly. Well, what is glyphosate? It's glycine with a nitrogen wart, and it totally changes its chemical properties.
Wow.
And so the ceruloplasmin protein doesn't work the same way. And so we have a massive global crisis of copper deficiency and a massive global crisis of iron accumulation.
Yeah.
And oxidative stress is rising at an alarming rate, and it's burning up magnesium New York minute.
Whoa. Wow, what a perfect storm you have!
Yeah,
what a perfect storm you have painted for humanity, right? With the copper and the iron, and then the decretion. And so this is why everybody and their brother comes on the show saying we're all magnesium deficient. Of course, you said this; you were the first one years ago. So this is why magnesium is getting lowered, and which is a big problem for the heart and everything else. And then this iron and the copper and whoa! So that's another. Obviously, a very important thing for most of our listeners, you probably would know, they don't go out and buy things that are not organic grain stuff. They just don't do it, you know.
Right.
Yeah, but most of humanity is doing it, and which might argue why there's so much oxidative stress and sickness and aging going on in our culture. I mean, it's absolutely.
It's a very significant issue. And then we haven't even talked about the pharmaceutical medications.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that. Let's not go too far right now.
Magnesium.
Okay, so I got to do a little break, okay? You stay right there. This is great stuff. Good job. Great fun having you here. Stay right there. Let me see if I can do this and not hurt myself. And wow, man, my nose is just, I don't know what it is. Somebody's talking about me. Great stuff. Okay, so if you'd like to be on the show and ask Marley a question, he's pretty geeky, but this is good stuff, so this is important. We're just doing a little biology class here. You can call 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. I would probably have used this product more than any product ever since I've been on the show here in the last 12 years. It's pine pollen. With Daniel Vitalis, and it's on sale for 20% off. Check this out.
Stephen Buhner, master herbalist, wrote an entire book on pine pollen. Previously, we asked him, what's the difference between gathering some pine pollen, eating that, and then maybe taking Sir Thrival pine pollen and the grape alcohol, the tincture? What's the difference in the body?
Okay, the difference is pine pollen is probably one of the best nutrient food substances on the earth. And you see, it's made to be uptaken by all of the life around it. All of the other plants take it in and use it for growth. Many of the animals eat it, and it's a very nutrient substance. If you eat it, what happens is it goes through your GI tract and then puts it into the bloodstream, and there's a lot of great stuff in it. I mean, it's really high in amino acids and protein and vitamins, so it's a very magnificent substance. It's kind of a nutrient longevity tonic food, and it will over time raise levels, but if you really want to raise them fast, you don't want to let it go through your GI tract, hence the use of a tincture.
And you can click and order this great product right on our website. Any of these are Thrival links. Take you right to the pine pollen and order away, oneradionetwork.com.
And this is, in fact, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the number one sale that we have on pine pollen, the biggest sale of the year, and you just use PINE20 for the promo code. Click on through our website, do PINE20 on our website, and you're going to get really good stuff. This is very powerful, very powerful. PINE20. Through, I think we got about two more weeks. Get the gold, the potency, the powder, or whatever you'd like to do. PINE20 through Daniel Vitalis. We've talked a lot about oxidative stress. Last time we talked about oxidative stress was with Thomas Levy, and you'll hear what he says here. And then about a year ago, we got introduced to molecular hydrogen, also known as Brown's gas. And so we have something for that, listen.
Previously, with the highly credentialed Dr. Thomas Levy, he argues because the literature shows that oxidation is the cause of disease.
But the whole point is the location, the concentration, the duration, the distribution of oxidized biomolecules determines 100% of all diseases. And so that's why I say oxidative stress doesn't cause disease. Oxidation is disease.
Is disease.
If there's no oxidized biomolecules, you don't have a toxin. The toxic effect is oxidation of biomolecules. That's the entirety of it.
And by the grace of God, several months ago, George Wiseman said this about hydrogen.
Hydrogen is the world's best antioxidant by a long shot.
Hmm.
First of all, it's 700 times smaller than something like CoQ10, 400 times smaller than vitamin C, things like that. So it can literally go, the hydrogen molecule can literally go through everything in your body and go right into the very DNA and repair it.
So now it makes sense why George was able to say this back in August 2019 with such conviction.
The body accepts that gas and uses it to heal everything. It's like the fountain of youth. It's astonishing the amount of ailments. In fact, in scientific studies, and they have over 1,000 scientific studies now, they are showing that it either helps the body heal directly or indirectly from virtually every ailment that ails any water-based life form.
Okay, I'm sold. And I was able to get one a couple of months ago, thanks to your support. It's called the AquaCure Hydrogen Machine. Breathe the gas and bubble the water. There's a promo code ONERADIO for 10% discount. I think a great investment for you, knowing what we know now. On OneRadioNetwork.com. That's right, lifetime warranty, 1 year, no questions asked, money back. We're getting people that are telling us, now I've been using it for about a year. We're getting people that are telling us that their natural hair color is coming back. Look at mine. I was way more gray than this. Just, you've seen, you can look at the old videos. I don't know what that's about. Maybe Morley knows how hydrogen or oxidative stress could be caused. I think gray hair is tied in with copper, right, Morley? He's shaking his head on the other screen. So we'll talk to him about it. I am not making a medical claim that you breathe this Brown's gas and your natural hair color is going to come back. But we've had two or three different people, and I can see it in my head. And I started getting gray 40 years ago. Anyway, so a lot of good things going on. You can go to Molecular Hydrogen Institute. .org and look at peer-reviewed studies on hydrogen. Some pretty exciting stuff going on everywhere around the world. This is Brown's Gas, which is a step up, a lifetime warranty. Click and order on our website, the AquaCure Machine. Use promo code ONERADIO, 10% off. George will answer any questions too. Go through his website.
We are listener-supported, One Radio Network.
Morley, if I can do it here, Morley Robbins is here, the magnesium man. I don't get too off track, but I've always read, because I started to gray early on. I mean, 40 years ago, Morley, my hair would and I did a lot of research, and I always saw that the copper was involved with gray hair. Do you know what's going on with that?
The hair follicles get burned out by hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah.
And you need a copper-based enzyme called catalase to neutralize the hydrogen peroxide. You know, the ads you just shared are very much in sync with what we're talking about. What we're getting to is the primal origin of the problem in our body.
The primal
and what those
origin.
Product origin and what those products do. They offer wonderful crutches to help people overcome the breakdown.
Sure.
And one of the most important for the listeners to really understand is that a lot of the literature will talk about aging causing this condition and that condition. Well, there's one thing they always forget to tell people in those aging studies. Every day we're on this planet, we add 1 milligram of iron to our body.
Where does it come from? Where does it come from? Just the air?
From our diet.
Well, once again, though, let's be careful. If we're eating a really good, clean, organic diet and being careful, that doesn't mean you're still getting, does it, Morley?
I've talked to world-renowned iron biologists.
We still get it.
They agree on this.
We still get it.
1 milligram of iron a day. So take your age, multiply it by 365. When I do that, I'm 67. So I multiply 67 times 365.
I'm doing mine.
And this is the number I get. 24,455.
I get 27,000 here, Morley. For me.
Okay, so you're just a little bit older. And so guys are supposed to have 5,000 milligrams of iron. And you and I have 24 and 27,000 milligrams of iron. And that's the source of all the symptoms of aging, is that buildup of iron inside our tissue. Now, the thing is, it doesn't show up in the blood work. It's inside a protein called ferritin that's stored in our cells. And there's two ways we can find out how much iron we really have. We could do a needle biopsy of our liver.
No, thank you.
You first. It's really painful.
You first. No.
Or the other is a Tesla 2 MRI. Very accurate, but it's very expensive.
No, thanks.
Again, you first.
Yeah.
But what's important for the listeners to understand is that the leading clinicians that are studying the impact of iron on all forms of pathology are using Tesla 2 MRIs to study livers, pancreas, hearts, kidneys, brain, joints, all of the areas in our body that succumb to aging are all succumbing to a buildup of iron that's increasing the oxidative stress, that's burning up the magnesium, that's causing metabolic dysfunction.
Gotcha. No, I like that. You're not making this up. No, I get it. But if I look at me and I'm almost closing in on 74 revolutions around the sun in a couple of months, times that number, it's like 27,000 milligrams of iron, you say. But, you know, I'm not aging much. I'm not falling apart. So how did I get rid of it all? I mean, I do saunas and hydrogen. I guess it all the good stuff we do in natural field, it helps get rid of it, right?
Yeah, you've been able to manage that buildup.
Manage it.
You've been very careful, I'm sure. You've worked with some very good supplements over the years.
Played around.
And that's great. What I've tried to do is develop what I call the root cause protocol.
Yes.
To get people to what Mother Nature wanted us to have inside our body, to do it naturally and do it consistently in our body.
Well, let's talk about that.
Does that
let's
make sense?
Go there. Oh, I like it. I like, because I'm with you. I think that all of these tools are great, and they help us to heal and to feel better, you know, like the hydrogen or sulfur, extra sulfur. But at the end of the day, we want to be able to do this all on our own, because we don't know if we're going to have these tools 5 years, but we don't even know if we're going to be able to buy magnesium.
That's right.
The way the world's going these days, right?
Well, that's right.
It's possible. With the UN and the whole stuff. I mean, who knows?
That's right.
We got to learn how to do this stuff.
Exactly right.
I'm with you. Yeah.
And I'm all about health freedom, so we have medical independence. It's very important to link those phrases together.
Yeah.
Health freedom to gain medical independence.
So how do we get these little... how do we get... I'm sorry, go ahead. I interrupted you. Sorry.
Well, no. I was just going to say that... Why is hydrogen so important? It's what's given off in mitochondria. The mitochondria are where we're supposed to be generating this hydrogen. And when the complexes are working right, they produce their own source of hydrogen. It's absolutely, yeah. And so again, what the listener isn't aware of, they go back to their high school text, one cell, one mitochondria. Patrick, we have 40 quadrillion mitochondria in our body.
40 quadrillion?
That's 40 plus 15 zeros.
Mitochondria.
And they all need, and they all need copper. And if they don't have copper, they can't make energy. And if they can't make energy, they make exhaust. which is called oxidative stress.
Whoa.
And so as the oxidative stress rises, it becomes what's called inflammation. You know what? You've heard of inflammation. You've talked about it for years.
Sure.
It's all you talk about. And there's a molecular origin to inflammation. And the guys who figured this out are Gutteridge and Hallowell in the UK. And so you have oxidative stress, inflammation, and then we have something called cytotoxicity. It's also called cancer.
Whoa.
So when the oxidative stress gets so overwhelming, the cell dies. And there is no disease called cancer, but there's a metabolic state called cancer metabolism,
where there's
a lack of bioavailable copper that can't metabolize the oxygen that's there.
And again, to regroup, let me stay right there, but to regroup, it's not necessarily we're not getting enough copper in our food, it's because of the excess iron that's kicking the copper out or making it just...
Yes.
Okay, the excess iron.
The buildup of iron weakens the status of copper in our body.
Okay.
But we have the added challenge that the food system is not designed to restore copper. The food system is not designed to restore magnesium. Look on the back of any label. What do they talk about? They talk about iron and calcium. They don't talk about copper and magnesium. And so magnesium and copper are essential for the production of energy. And it's like, what are we doing pushing iron and calcium for then? Because they're the polar opposites of the elements that we need.
I understand.
So again, the food system is geared differently from what it should be. Again, I'm a purist. I think that we ought to be helping people have a sustainable lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole design of the root cause protocol is around three components: minerals, vitamin complexes, and nutrient dense food. Those are three very simple concepts. We know how important minerals are in general. No water that we drink or cook should not have minerals in it. And if it's distilled or if it's coming from some noted bottlers of water, it doesn't have any minerals. And in fact, it probably has a bunch of fluoride in it. You don't want the fluoride.
Morley, let me stop a second. What is your favorite way to remineralize water if you're going to distill RO, which takes everything out? Do you have something that you've seen over the years that really works well, a broad range of minerals?
We do two. It's two steps for us.
Okay.
We use a filter. It's an RO filter,
right,
by pH Prescription out of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Really good system. They have standalone, whole house, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then we remineralize the water using a brand called Aussie Minerals. It's actually manufactured in Australia, but it's shipped out of Boulder, Colorado.
Spell that for
Aussie
us.
Aussie Minerals is
Aussie, like
A-U-S-S-I-E, Aussie, like
minerals.
Australian.
And why do you
Aussie
like that
minerals.
One?
It tastes great. Has a very, it's got 94 minerals in it. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing resource, and
you like
it. It's fascinating to watch. Oh yeah, when you diffuse it into the water, it's amazing to see this cloud just kind of disperse.
Whoa.
Within a second or two. It's amazing how the water knows exactly what to do with the minerals.
Have you ever used or experimented and know anything about using a little bit of ocean water, which has all the minerals in the exact proportion as a human body, right, to get it to a certain TDS level? Do you think that would work?
Potentially. I mean, what all these mineral supplements are is just taking seawater and dehydrating.
That's right.
That's essentially what
that's
they're
what
doing.
They're doing. Right.
So I think it's the same concept.
Let me ask you something. If you were going to use ocean water or other things, do you have a total dissolved solids TDS level that you would like to see the minerals at in the water that you drink?
I should have this number committed to memory. I don't. I just follow the instructions on the bottle.
Oh, when you use the Aussie mineral. Yeah, on the Aussie mineral.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got minerals.
Pretty well.
And then you got vitamins, you know.
Vitamin complexes.
Complexes, a lot of good.
Vitamin complexes. Yeah. Right. So I don't believe in any kind of synthetic vitamins. I avoid them with, like, the plague.
Yes.
And that means that I would part company with Thomas Levy around ascorbic acid.
Right. I agree.
It's very different than whole food vitamin C.
Exactly.
But the B vitamins that we need come from nature. Like beef liver is one of the richest sources of B vitamins. Bee pollen, very rich source of B vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a firm believer in a proper balance of retinol to vitamin D. And I prefer to get it from cod liver oil, not from supplements. And there's a lot of controversy around that, of course.
A lot of people hate cod liver oil, as you know. You know, hate it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I absolutely do. But their grandparents, great-grandparents, and great-great-grandparents were all raised on it. And those ancestors of ours didn't have dementia, diabetes, and dysfunction the way we do.
What's in the cod liver oil that you like? What component?
It's the retinol.
The retinol.
That becomes retinoic acid. All the retinoic acids are hormones. Again, the greatest disservice to humanity was calling vitamin A and vitamin D vitamins. They're not. They're absolutely incredibly important hormones. And the retinoic acids are what allow copper to be loaded into the copper enzymes that allow us to deal with oxygen.
Oh.
It's very... Yeah. Very clear in the literature.
Yeah.
And so you and I are old enough to have lived when President Eisenhower had his heart attack.
I remember Ike.
September 24th, 1955.
Yeah.
And when Ike had his heart attack, what did they do? They put everyone on a low-fat diet.
I remember. Yeah.
And we were told they were trying to save us from all that booga-booga cholesterol, right? Well, out what they were trying to do is get rid of the retinol in our diet. And when you take retinol out of the diet of a human being, iron dysregulation goes off at an alarming rate.
Whoa.
But that's not taught in the literature, not taught on the internet.
So when you cut out cholesterol and fat and stuff like that that they said was bad, then you're cutting out the retinol.
Yes.
Okay.
The foods that have cholesterol have retinol.
Oh.
Like eggs.
Eggs,
you've heard of eggs.
Butter,
right?
Yeah.
Butter, you've heard of
cheese.
You've heard of butter, right?
Cheese,
yeah. Exactly. So retinol is incredibly important. And what's the ratio of retinol to vitamin D and cod liver oil? 10 to 1. Gee, maybe Mother Nature wants it that way, you think? And so now what we have to do is live through the insanity of, oh, vitamin A toxicity, and you can't get near it, and it's going to... And it's just, again, there's always disinformation campaigns of some sort that we have to endure. And then the nutrient-dense foods are the things like the bee pollen, the cod liver oil,
liver.
And the beef liver.
Liver.
That so many people have never in their life. And again, the organ... Here's the interesting dichotomy. Our ancestors used to eat, and they threw the muscle meats to the dogs.
Yes.
But now in the modern era, we're so sophisticated, we eat the muscle meats, and we throw the organ meats to the dogs. And that's how far we've come. Everything is backwards, Patrick. Everything.
So you're talking about eating kidneys or livers or, I don't know, even thyroids or...
Hearts.
Thyroid, heart,
eat it all,
right? Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's what our ancestors used to do. Well, we think that's abhorrent. We think that's disgusting. Well, what do all those organs do? All of those organs are very rich in mitochondria. What's rich in mitochondria? Oh, yeah, that copper thingy.
There's
a lot of copper in those, a lot of copper in those organ meats. And again, that's all lost. That's not taught in medical school. The graduating class of UNC Medical School, May 2020, graduating class. How much time did they spend in the classroom talking about nutrition? How many hours did they spend talking about nutrition? What would you guess? 36 minutes.
Well, I overestimated. I know.
36 minutes.
Morley Robbins is with us. So stay right there, stay there. I just want to kind of regroup here. It's fascinating stuff. Great job. Marley Robbins, Magnesium Man, if you care to join the show. Patrick, at oneradionetwork.com, 888-663-6386. Julie wants to know, how can I test my iron levels? Can I do a ferritin blood test? Does that tell me anything?
I have affectionately renamed the ferritin blood test Ferritin. Ferritin.
So I know what you're going to say.
It's one of the most misleading markers on the planet. When you go to the website testatest.com, I put together a panel to measure copper and iron, and it's called the Full Monty Iron Panel with A and D vitamin. It costs a couple hundred dollars. I don't see a penny of that. I don't want people thinking I'm pimping to push this test because I'm going to make a lot of money, because I don't.
Right.
But what I am able to give people good information so they can make better decisions about their nutrition. And
you cut out a little bit. Give me that website again, please.
requestatest.com.
Okay.
And it's called the Full Monty Iron Panel.
Full Monty Iron Panel. All right. And that's the only way to really see what your iron levels are?
Because what it's going to do is it's going to tell people what their hemoglobin level is, which is 70% of the iron in your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to tell people what their serum iron is, which tells us what the iron recycling, which is very, very, very important. And then it will also tell you ferritin levels. But what it also does is it tells people about the copper side, magnesium side, and the vitamin A and vitamin D side. You cannot do a responsible assessment of iron by just taking a ferritin blood test.
It is
the most irresponsible thing you can do in medicine, as far as I'm concerned.
That's good information. So what about the folks that have been saying over the last few years, well, a good way to keep your iron levels down is just give blood once or twice a year. Is it good?
Absolutely agree with that.
Really?
Absolutely. So what we recommend with the root cause protocol is that menopausal women and men should donate blood quarterly.
Quarterly?
And women who are still cycling, still have their menstrual cycle, should do it a couple times a year. And the studies that have been done, Patrick, of regular blood donors versus non-donors are very revealing. The regular blood donors always outlive the non-donors.
Is that right?
For one reason only. Only one reason.
Iron.
They have less iron.
Wow.
Less iron in their body.
So they have less iron, so they rust less, they oxidize less, and they just live.
Exactly.
They don't age. They live longer.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Hmm.
And so, again, the free radical theory of aging. It's absolutely amazing. There's a whole field of cardiology called the iron heart hypothesis that was developed by Jerry Sullivan in 1981. He was a pathologist who wanted to know, why do men and women have different heart rate, incidence of heart attacks? And he finally figured it out. And it was pure women menstruate and men don't.
Oh.
And so the iron builds.
No.
Iron builds in their body, and they have more heart events. It's absolutely fascinating. When you get into it, the simplicity and beauty of this paradigm is unbelievable. And so copper and iron working with oxygen goes back to the beginning of oxygen's appearance on this planet. And it's fascinating. And it's taking place inside our body every day. And it's something that we can manage through our diet. It's really fascinating.
Marla, it is. It's great stuff. Good for you. I'm really enjoying this. So let's take a step here and say, okay, I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people, myself. I just feel better when I take extra magnesium. I just do, you know, so I pop it all the time. And I you know, my bowels move better, and I just feel better. I look better. Everything works better when I take extra magnesium. And it doesn't seem to be a problem by taking too much. I mean, I don't know if you can take too much, and you'll tell me if you can. But could we, at the beginning, start to take extra copper just to see how we feel? I mean, is that a good strategy?
There's no real copper supplement.
Oh.
The way there is a magnesium supplement.
There's just
That's
not.
The tragedy.
Okay.
No, that doesn't exist in that way. Ideally, we're meant to get our copper through our food.
Okay.
That's really the way the human body is designed.
What are the high copper foods? The organs? Organ meats?
Organ meats, oysters.
Oysters.
There are certain nuts, with any of the shellfish are going to be important sources of copper.
Okay.
Again, they don't have hemoglobin. They have a copper-based blood. That's why that's so important.
Copper.
We have an iron-based blood, but theirs is copper-based. All the shellfish are copper-based blood.
Kind of green?
Ours is, yeah. Well, it's actually kind of blue.
Oh, kind of blue. Huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so, another really rich source of copper is snails.
Snails?
I don't know that I've ever had one, but that's a very rich source. A lot of
back in the days, we've had a few. Yeah.
About that. Yeah. Okay.
What else? Oysters, shellfish, organ meats, anything else?
Historically, the copper-rich foods would have been potatoes.
Really?
Pumpkins.
Ooh.
Corn. Alfalfa. Oh, what a coincidence. These are all the foods that are now GMO. Do you think that's a coincidence?
No.
Or do you think it was planned? So all the GMO foods are designed to take the copper out of the food so we can't get it in our body.
Right. Which you learned from Stephanie Sinef, right?
Yeah. And I know people think, oh, God, this guy wears a tin hat. Sorry.
We all do,
it's
bro.
That's what the research tells us.
We all do.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. You know, we found an organic corn that's been nixtamalized. You know about nixtamalization? Ray Pete taught us about that.
No, I don't.
Nixtamalization is a pretty cool thing, Morley. That's what they do in the cultures that eat a lot of corn. And they soak it in lime and they do a whole thing and it makes the corn more digestible, called nixtamalized.
That's awesome.
And so Ray Pete, who's a regular guest, he taught us about nixtamalization. So good organic corn has some copper in it, huh?
Well, yeah. Again, it's just historically, you go back, you know, hundreds of years.
People ate a lot of corn, right?
We needed to. The soil had a completely different mineral composition than it does today.
Oh, I bet.
Especially
on
farms.
Yeah.
The number one nutrient deficiency on the farm is a copper deficiency.
In the soil.
Absolutely.
How do organic farmers add that? Good safely. Is there products or?
What they should be doing is spraying the soil with copper sulfate, 10 to 15 pounds per acre, and that provides the nutrition that the microbes need to then put that copper in the root system to go into the plant, the thing that's eaten by the animals.
Interesting.
And so, the thing is, one of my students is a small grain farmer in Redding, California.
Mm-hmm.
And he grows barley and radishes. He has award-winning barley and radishes. And there's only one thing he does to win the award every year.
He sprays
copper sulfate.
Okay.
And he says none of his other farmers will do it. It's more expensive. But he says he's more interested in having a higher Brix content to keep the sugar content of the produce he's making as high as possible, and that's all based on bioavailable copper.
That's what the copper does, is get the bricks up. I used to make a spaghetti sauce many years ago, and we would look carefully at the bricks level of the tomatoes that we purchased because it just was sweeter.
Absolutely.
And more sugar. So the copper plays a role in that.
Absolutely does.
Wow.
Yes, it's essential. And again, all of this has all been lost to the ages.
Sure.
And the modern farmers don't understand minerals the way I think they should.
No.
And they don't understand central role that copper plays with oxygen, which is the second most reactive element on the planet.
So
it's so central to our physiology.
Yeah, right. Let me ask you, have you met organic farmers, many that really understand the copper thing, or just a few people, not a lot?
Well, I had the very distinct honor couple weekends ago of being asked to speak at, there's a festival in Lancaster County, PA, mm-hmm. for the Amish farmers.
Oh.
And I was asked to speak about this whole copper iron dynamic.
Oh, you were.
And there were probably about 100 people in the audience for my talk, and about probably 60 of them were farmers, and there were wives and children and things. But I asked them, I said, who here uses copper on the soil?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are 60 farmers in the audience, Patrick. How many do you think actually use copper to cultivate their soil?
One or two?
Two. There were two. And the one farmer cautioned his fellow farmers. He says, it's very important that you test your soil every year before you put down copper sulfate. But what I want you to know, he said, every year I've tested my soil has been copper deficient.
Every year.
Every year. So this is a very important message, not just for the listeners on your show, but the organic farmers that these listeners are buying their produce
yes,
from.
Sir.
There's a gross shortage in this country, but on this planet, of using copper to mineralize the soil so we can deal with the oxygen that we're exposed to on a regular basis.
Wow, very interesting. Morley Robbins is with us, the magnesium man. There was another email here. If you have an email, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. George says, I like Patrick. Oh, listen, he listens to the show. I like Patrick. We have copper pipes. And what role does this play? And then he wants to know about taking a hair test. So he has two questions. Yeah, I have copper pipes. And, you know, I distill the water and then put minerals in. And I can actually see some of the green in my shower because I'm on rainwater, right? So the rainwater is very aggressive. There's no minerals, right? It's what they call male water, right? So it takes, you know, you got to be careful. So it pulls the copper out of the pipes. I did this 25 years ago. So is that a problem?
It can be a problem, but it's not as big a problem as people think it is. I mean, there's a famed scientist at University of Michigan, George Brewer, who wanted to blame copper pipes for Alzheimer's, and that's not what causes.
So it's
Alzheimer's.
Not a big deal, huh? Not a big deal.
No.
That's not giving me good copper in the shower that I can use, is it?
It's not a form of copper that you can use.
No. Yeah.
And then the hair test.
I was going to ask about a hair test.
Minerals using hair tests.
Okay, talk about it.
Hair tests are very helpful.
Are they?
They're very helpful. Mm-hmm. They can give you a lot of information about 18 different minerals and 12 other factors and, you know, 8 heavy metals. It's very, very useful.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the catch.
Yeah. Always a catch with you.
They don't. That's right. They always don't measure ceruloplasmin. There's no ceruloplasmin measured in a hair test. Well, copper expresses through this protein in the human body. And in all mammalian bodies, you got to have ceruloplasmin to have the expression of copper. And that's why I turn to blood testing in addition to the hair test to get a more balanced view of what's going on with these key minerals. The other thing for the listeners to understand is there are only 2 metals on the planet that have a relationship with oxygen. Only 2. Iron and copper. And they're called redox active metals. It means they can engage in what's called reduction oxidation activity, which is what runs our bodies. All of those reduction oxidation chemical reactions are what move electrons to allow us to live. And it's copper and iron all the way. And so the hair test will give information, but it does not give complete information.
You got to do that blood test you talked about, right? That full Monty thing.
A completely different
and level. then you can figure something out. Marley, I wonder what it would be, and I've had other people say this as well, but as long as I've taken hair tests, and I've done lots of them, you can imagine over the years, right? My copper level is always literally off the chart, all the way to the right. And the last one I did, 6 months ago, same thing. Would I have to do the full Monty thing and other people to understand why that is?
Patrick, what we can do, you can do that blood test.
I will.
Do the analysis.
I will.
Live on the radio.
Oh, that'd be great.
I'll walk you through what's going on. Yeah,
and we can actually show my blood test on the screen, and then show the full Monty on the screen, and we'll do the deal. That'd be fun. That'd be fun. Requestatest.com and do the full Monty thing. And they're not going to want to test me for COVID or something to make me do the blood test, are they? Because I'm not going to do that. Okay.
No, they won't do that. No, I wouldn't subject myself to that test anyway.
Because you don't know what they're going to do with that information, right?
No.
Have no idea.
I'm afraid what they're doing is they're getting genetic samples from people. That's what they're really trying to do. Expand their gene pool.
And, of course, with the technology, they do, Patrick, you're going to fly to London, right, 2 years from now? Oh, we saw that you were positive. No, thank you. Can't. Who knows? You don't know what they're going to do with that information. I'm not going to do that.
No. If people are following what's going on in Melbourne, Australia, it's really scary where this
What's happening in Melbourne?
It's the most severe lockdown on the planet.
Oh, I've read.
People are allowed to leave their home for 1 hour a day. They have to have papers to prove that they need to be out.
Whoa.
I mean, it's really insane.
Whoa.
Yeah, very insane.
Whoa. And I also saw where...
Using drones to monitor my...
Oh, my. I also saw where just next door in New Zealand, everybody was happy. Everybody was kind of moving, opening things up. I saw this article yesterday, Morley, and they had four cases. They're not cases. They're four positive test results, which, as you know, it doesn't mean anything. It's just a positive test.
That's
antibodies.
Right.
It doesn't mean...
That's right.
And they're going to close the whole... half the island down because of four positive. I mean, you can't even make this stuff up, Morley Robbins. You can't even make it up. It's bizarre, isn't it?
People have got to wake up. They've got to realize that this is really out of control now.
Yeah.
It's absolutely out of
control. Okay, brother, we're going to do one more break. Can you stick around for a few minutes?
Sure.
Okay, I'm having fun. I'm going to do another break, and then I'm going to just talk more about magnesium since you're the magnesium man. And we're going to do that and have some fun, so stay there.
Here's a short explanation how this product, Pearlseum, works with our teeth from Dr. Rulin Zhu.
So basically, when you brush your teeth with the pearl, make your existing teeth stronger and also filling up, because our teeth is being harmed every day by what we eat. Can become porous or weak, even loose part of the bones. So when you brush teeth with the Pearlseum, and the pearl powder will stimulate the new bone growth and also make the existing teeth very strong.
So it's actually stimulating new growth on the teeth in a natural way and not painting something over it?
It is very natural. It makes existing teeth stronger. New growth of the bone, it is very beautiful color. You know, it's kind of like a pearl. And especially the pearl is a crystal. And so when it grows, the bone is the most healthy way.
Yeah, we love this product. Give it a try if you'd like. Click on the Pearlseum ad on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. We have it set up to go to the 2-container where you get a nice discount. But if you only want one to start, just click over to the single bottle and get that one. It's the Pearlseum, the ad right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com.
Ah, this is a really nice product. It's from Real Pearl. So it's a living source, right? A living source, real pearl. Let me see if I can get just me up there. I don't know. Come on, Patrick, you can do it. Oh, that's not what I want. There I am. Just real pearl. And this is important because the Max Planck Institute and other people have said over the years that when you use other than a living source for some kind of supplement, and maybe Marta can speak to this on the magnesium thing, that it's just not good for the body. The body's not really happy. So this is from Pearl, and people have asked, and it doesn't kill the oyster when you get the pearls. It actually makes them stronger, and they make more pearls. That's pretty cool. Yeah, real pearl. And so you can take this internally. It's probably the only form of a real calcium thing that I would take, because it's just a real thing. It's pearl. and it has a lot of other proteins in there. But then you brush your teeth with this baby, it's the bomb. It's really good. Pearlseum, OneRadioNetwork.com. We're so honored to have the work of Brandon Amalani and what he's doing with Shen Blossom. You can see the ad up there. What a nice man, good man. He has been working with Chinese medicine and Qigong and used to do product development for Daniel Vitalis. That's when I first met him, maybe 12 years ago. This company's out of control, amazing. Click on Shen Blossom, I encourage you, through our website and look at some of the products that he has and then read the ingredients and see what he goes through and what he does, the Hoshuwu or the 50-year-old ginseng that they make in sake and it takes them, months. Or the Hoshuwu where they do it in a black bean thing and it takes them like 12 weeks to make it. I mean, this is kind of like over the top, very exciting work that Brandon is doing with all things from magical mushrooms, not those kind, but chaga, reishi, shizandra, goji berries, this digest thing, a little powder he has. So many really interesting products with Shen Blossom. We're very excited about them. Check it out. If you're going to spend your money, it only costs a little more to go first class, baby. So check it out. See if you might find some products there that you'll like. It is Shen Blossom on OneRadioNetwork.com.
We are listener supported. One Radio Network.
So this idea, whoops, I don't want to do it. So this idea, Morley Robbins is with us, the magnesium man. So are we pretty okay, safe, and generally on good, solid ground by taking extra magnesium every day, even though we don't test for it?
Well, yes. I mean, I think that if you go back to our very first conversation, and I'm sure you've had many since then with other practitioners and commentators, you can't go wrong taking magnesium.
You just can't.
It's the first mineral lost to stress. And so as soon as there's any kind of stress in the body will lose magnesium in order to release energy to deal with that stress. That's the very mechanism of the process. And what eluded me for years was thinking that just taking magnesium would solve the reason why I kept leaving the body. And it doesn't. It's like if you've ever been in a boat that has a hole in it, bailing out the boat works, but the water keeps coming in, right? And so the whole idea of the root cause protocol is to repair the boat so there's no leaks in it anymore. And so taking magnesium is amazing. It really helps you solve symptoms, especially the symptoms of aging. But if you want to correct the origin of the problem, if you want to get back to the true metabolic origin, which is the copper-iron conflict interacting with oxygen, creating the oxidative stress, that's what you've got to deal with. And you can take magnesium until the cows come home. You will not touch that oxidative stress because you've not corrected
the copper-iron. That's the root cause of the problem, the oxidative stress. And that's exactly. Because of the whole iron and the whole thing, right?
Exactly.
We've had people that say that Dr. Circus, do you know Mark Circus in Brazil?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He likes magnesium bicarbonate. He says that's the bomb. Do you like that, magnesium bicarbonate?
Yeah. There are many different forms of it. Mm-hmm. The magnesium carbonate is what is typically found in water.
It's a liquid.
Especially the better mineral waters in the world have magnesium bicarbonate. It's naturally occurring, especially the waters in Poland. And also there's a particular mineral spring in California that has this, and that it's bottled as Noah's water. But the magnesium bicarbonate, it's amazing. Yeah. But it's a very bioavailable form of magnesium, which is great. But again, it's not solving. Why are we losing all this magnesium? That's the most important question that needs to be asked is, why do I keep using magnesium? Well, I know I'm under stress. And what I didn't realize for years is that when we're under stress, whether it's financial stress or relationship stress or job stress or COVID-19 stress, all of that stress becomes oxidative stress inside our body.
Yes.
It absolutely all, there can be a thousand different forms of stress outside of our body, but inside the body, it's all oxidative stress. And that's what we've got to.
But just to recap, I don't even know what the word is. I don't need the word because I don't care.
But it's a good word.
It's a good word. Good no, word. It was a great word, boy. It was halfway out, and it was a great word. But the mother load of all this is too much iron, really? I mean,
too much iron. The iron, Patrick, the iron footprint in your body is just incredible. And it's, again, you are a very youthful 74, but you are 74 and you have tons of iron. I'm confident in your cells.
Where is it?
That have been stored.
Where?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
right. Could I, isn't there something, well, maybe I'm sure the hydrogen is helping because it's dealing with oxidative stress and we know that, but is there other something that I could pop in there to get rid of iron? I mean, just as a medicine and not the cure, just as a medicine. No?
Well, the first thing, one of the most important things for listeners to understand is there's no natural mechanism to remove iron from the human body except one thing, blood loss. It's the only way
Wow.
to get rid of iron.
Wow.
Only way to get rid of iron. Hmm. And so the focus of the root cause protocol is to introduce varied forms of bioavailable copper, because copper's job in the body is to mobilize iron and
with
get it
foods,
out of the tissue.
With the foods you're talking about.
And get it into circulation.
Right.
Once it's into circulation, then we can get rid of it through the blood through the blood donation.
Oh, but let's see.
Mechanism.
Let me see what I'm, if I hear you saying, but that doesn't seem right. I mean, you know, back when God did its thing to do to create all this thing, we didn't give blood. So there must be a natural way. I mean, if we get the right foods with the right copper, like the organ foods and all that, and the my vitamins and minerals, we shouldn't have to give blood, right?
Well, there were periods where there was active bloodletting.
I remember.
Well, all that changed in the early 1500s as the Royal College of Physicians and the Royal College of Surgeons began to exercise their muscle, and they tabooed
bloodletting. Yeah.
And so before that, there were uses of bloodletting. It's just we've not been trained to understand that. Mm-hmm. And it's important for people to realize that this is not some bizarre practice. It's a very recognized way to keep the body in proper balance and regulation.
And I remember past lives, and also in movies that you see, right? They do the bloodletting thing all the time, right? Back King Henry in 14th mm-hmm. century, 13th century. So that's what they
Absolutely.
Were doing. That's
yeah.
their I wonder how they figured it out, you know, 5,000 years ago. Who knows?
Well, they theorized that there were bad things in the blood, and they were just trying to lower some of the bad things. I don't think they knew it was iron.
Yeah.
I think that... But what's fascinating is when's the first recorded use of copper as a healing agent? 5,000 BC.
Really?
It's recognized and written up again in 2,500 BC. Guess what Hippocrates used a lot of in healing people? Copper. We don't hear about that, do we?
How do you use it? What was the way he did it?
Again, it was herbs and different foods that he knew had copper in them.
Huh.
Again, the word copper comes from Greece, and it was called cyprium. C-Y-P-R-I-U-M.
C-Y.
From cypress trees.
Whoa.
P-R-I-U-M. And so the Romans changed that to cuprium. C-U-P-R-I-U-M. And the symbol for copper is CU.
CU.
Yeah, on a periodic table. Yeah. And so what I do is help people strengthen the cure, but I spell cure differently. CU hyphen RE. So people see the symbol for copper. And what people don't know, Patrick, is that when they're in a state of fear, that's going to cause iron accumulation. So I spell fear differently. I spell it F-E hyphen A-R, so they see the symbol for iron.
Whoa.
For the listeners who are intrigued by those, I have a video. It's called Three Simple Words, Faith, Fear, and Cure.
Hmm.
And they can listen to me wax on for an hour and 15 minutes talking about those three words and how important they are.
Wow, I like that. Oh, that's so. Here's an email for you. Biotic research in Texas adds desired minerals to sprouts, then harvests into compressed tablets. I found people with mood swings, even mid-sentence, often improve on copper supplements. Low zinc associates with gray hair, and too much copper interfere with zinc levels. Wheatgrass-fed seawater will take up all the minerals, while other plants vary in what they take up or not. Blood tests can significantly vary one arm to the other, so may do both tests to help make better sense. Oh, this is from a doctor. He's a chiropractor. Interesting. Yeah, we've heard about the minerals, seawater grown. What do you call it? wheatgrass. Yeah.
The thing we got to be careful of is when someone says too much copper is going to affect zinc, is the bulk, the overwhelming amount of copper that we have in our body is meant to be complexed enzymes. And when the enzymes get tweaked by iron, the copper comes out. And that unbound copper will show up on a hair test, and it might show up on a blood test. But if you don't know how to interpret the copper ceruloplasmin ratio, then you're going to get grossly misled about what's called the copper iron ratio, which is a ratio that I completely ignore because it's the most misunderstood ratio on the planet.
Well, you've done years of research in this, that's for sure. Whoa. So.
And I'd be happy to talk to that chiropractor about this.
Yeah, if he wants to email.
Very, very willing to do that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Do you have a public email address that people can email you?
I regularly give out my email and my phone number. It's morleyrobbins@gmail.com.
Okay.
Just first and last name at Gmail. And my phone number is area code 847-922-8061. 847-922-8061. And I'm happy to talk to people or get their emails and explore these issues further.
Marley, thanks for sending me that request to test thing. I'll do that,
yep.
And then we'll get together,
yeah,
and we'll look at it on the show. We'll do a whole thing, and you can show people how that works, yeah, and what could be done. Because you need the hair test, which I've had, and then the request to test full Monty thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you can figure it out,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're gonna have a lot of fun with that.
Will do that. Well, Mr. Robbins, you are just so much fun to talk to. I really enjoyed being here with you, and thanks for all your research. I mean, how long have you been doing this?
11 years now.
11 years.
11 years.
What is the most, we go, what is the most, I don't know, aha moment significant in all those 11 years that you said, whoa, you know what I mean? Like the number, does something come to mind? The biggest aha moment that you had with your research.
That copper enzymes and cholesterol all appeared after the presence of oxygen. Everything changed when I learned that.
On the planet, you mean?
That redefined nutrition and medicine for me. Because the only reason why you and I are having this conversation is because copper saved our ancestors a long time ago from the oxygen that wiped out 99% of life. It's such a stratospheric
wow.
change in the world that we're not aware of. And so what's happened is modern medicine has demonized copper and has glorified iron. And in fact, it's just the opposite.
Just the opposite. When do we know when humanoids, we came in this, you know, do we know about when we came in, our little species?
Well, there are different theories. Again, depends on what your faith is, what have you. But
right.
I think what most scientists would agree on, it was a couple of years ago, was when our ancestors branched out. And the guy who figured this out is he's a geneticist at Hospital of a Children's Hospital of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. His name is Douglas Wallace. And he's the guy that figured out that he knows the central of humanity. But his real gift to mankind and humankind is that he's the one that figured out mitochondrial DNA passed from mother to child. And that's why we're able to do all these genetic tests going back in time, is because of his genes. But one of his quotes, which is really still significant, is one of the greatest blind spots of modern medicine is energy deficiency.
Energy deficiency.
And ask yourself, when was the last time your doctor ever got out any kind of meter to assess the amount of energy you're putting out? They don't do it. And energy deficiency is, in fact, the reason why we get sick. What's the number one reason why we go see the doctor? Number one reason is fatigue.
Right.
Number one reason is fatigue. And yet doctors don't have a way to measure it, and they don't have a way to make it. They have no idea.
Yeah.
And that's what the root cause protocol does, is helps people make energy. And it's amazing. The testimonials are phenomenal about people being able to get their life back by following the game plan of Mother Nature.
And what's the main website for people want to do the root cause protocol? Yours is it Magnesium Man or?
It's rcp123.org.
Oh.
RCP for root cause protocol, rcp123.org. And when people go to that website, if they will donate their email address, then we will honor it. But if they will donate it, we'll give you a 32-page document that explains what the protocol does, why it works. There's phasing. There's things to stop doing, things to start doing. And Patrick, we've got over 1,000 people a month downloading that protocol.
Oh, really? And it's pretty easy to do for folks?
Mm-hmm.
As long as they have access to good food, pretty easy to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's the whole purpose behind it. It's just we're trying to streamline this and democratize health freedom.
Yeah.
That's really what we're trying
to do. Well, it's important because, you know, the world is bonkers, as you know. We have no idea what's going to be happening in the next 2 or 3 years, right? We hope for the best. But we need to prepare for the worst, right? Because we don't know.
No, that's right.
Yeah, you know, we might not be able to travel. Exactly. We might not be able to fly in an airplane unless we get vaxxed. We don't know. I don't want that to happen.
Exactly right.
But, you know, we need to be prepared, you know.
A very dear friend of mine just made a flight to Budapest.
Mm-hmm.
And she was on a 777. You know how big they are.
Sure.
And she was in business class. She said it was like it was a private airplane. 75% of the seats were empty.
Wow.
And she said in her section, she almost had the whole business class to herself. That's normal.
No, it's not.
We can't sustain that.
No, it's just not.
That's not going to work.
I saw where Delta Airlines kicked out 100 passengers just yesterday over their system because they wouldn't wear a mask, you know. They're making them wear a mask. They're flying an airplane for 3 hours, you know.
No, it's
no
it's
way.
Ridiculous.
I'm not going.
So, it's unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
We can talk about that at another
Okay. time. Well, it's just an honor to have you. Thank you. And I'll be getting back with you. I'll go ahead and do the full Monty thing. I guess you got a fast for that,
That'd
baby?
Be great. No,
you don't have to fast.
There are two different companies that will on that. When you go to the website, they're going to direct you to a blood draw station.
Yeah, there's a.
But just overlook the directive that says you're supposed to fast for a week. That makes no sense.
It doesn't matter.
Just live your life. Go get the blood test, and then send me the results, and then we'll talk.
Oh, so you don't even have to fast like 12 or 24 hours, like they do a lot of blood tests. No need to.
No.
Okay. No. All right, so thanks a lot. I love your work, and you let us know if we can help. And Marley, it was really fun. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, it's been an honor. Thank you. Well, we love fellows that are really, really researching. Holy cow. pretty fun, huh? Okay, we're going to put all of these links in his show page, and then you can pass these on, but the rcp123.org is the main one for the protocol. And okay, so we're going to take a little break here. We'll see you in about 20 hours, 20 whatever, and we're going to talk to Joel Skorsen and maybe somebody else too. You never know, because we have the rest of the day to find somebody. Kind of got a slot there I'd like to fill, but we'll see. Then we'll have open phone Friday. So thanks for your ongoing support. If there's any thing that I can do for you. I don't get too far away from the computer. Ugh. Gotta stop that. And if I can help you, Patrick at oneradionetwork.com. I get a lot of questions about the hydrogen machine. Welcome them. Let me know. I can give you my experiences. That's probably most of the emails I get these days. Really? Does that work? But let us know. Thanks for your ongoing support, as I said, and appreciate you looking at our website and supporting people that we know and trust. And that's why one of our trademarks is Know the Source, because there's a lot of stuff out there. People selling you a lot of stuff, and we know the source of all that. We know the people, which is huge. So I love you all very much. Thank you, and may the blessings be.
Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.